On the morning of Wednesday, November 18, 1863, President Abraham Lincoln boarded a special train bound for a small Pennsylvania town called Gettysburg. He had been asked to make a few appropriate remarks at a ceremony convened to consecrate the grounds of a new cemetery. The burial ground would be the final resting place for 3,000 Union soldiers who lost their lives in three horrible days of battle the previous July. Lincoln felt uneasy. He had not been able to find sufficient time to complete the speech he was expected to present at the cemetery dedication the next day. What words could adequately express the horror of the battle? What could he say to communicate his own profound sadness over the deaths of so many gallant soldiers? What comments could possibly convey the somber appreciation of a grateful nation for their sacrifice? What tender words could he offer to comfort the hearts of grieving loved ones? So many mothers, fathers, wives, daughters, and sons. The president pored over his speech as the train wound its way through the rolling Pennsylvania countryside. Finally, arriving in Gettysburg, he retired to his room, where he continued to ponder, write, revise, and write some more until well into the night. After breakfast the next morning, Lincoln made his final revisions, carefully folded the speech, and gently placed it in his coat pocket. Accompanied by 9 governors, 3 cabinet officials, various members of Congress, foreign diplomats, and military officials, the president mounted a chestnut horse and joined in a procession to the cemetery. One of the residents who lined the parade route remarked that Lincoln bowed with a modest smile and uncovered head to the throng of women, men, and children that greeted him from the doors and windows of the town. At the cemetery, an audience of 9,000, though some say many more, crowded around the speaker's platform in a broad half-circle. One of those assembled there later recalled that all about were traces of the fierce conflict. Rifle pits, cut and scarred trees, broken fences, pieces of artillery wagons and harnesses, scraps of blue and gray clothing, and bent canteens still littered the low hilltop. Ceremony began. Chaplain Thomas Stockton offered an invocation. Edward Everett, former governor of Massachusetts and one of the nation's most famous orators, presented an eloquent address that lasted over 2 hours. Abraham Lincoln arose, shook Everett's hand, and removed the papers from his coat. He put on his wireless spectacles and turned to the anxious throng before him. The audience immediately grew still. Then Lincoln spoke for just over 2 minutes. and in 10 sentences, he invoked those exalted principles of freedom, of humanity, and of a unified nation to which he, like the brave soldiers he honored that day, had dedicated his life. And these are the words he spoke. These are the words that Abraham Lincoln spoke that day at Gettysburg. Fourscore and 7 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead, we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.